This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting, scientifically proven to be three times more entertaining than waxing your grandmother.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? If there was a police lineup, I'd be the tall one in the middle with the beard, okay? Do I look intimidating? Yes, I do. When people see me walking down the street, do they tend to run to the other side? Yes, they do. Do I like it that way? Yes, I do. This is what they call hump day. It's the day in the middle of the week. It is hump-ified. It's hump day. I think this is stupid, but I do point it out because it is stupid that we actually have to name the day in the middle of the week after a hump. I don't get it. All right, that'll do it. Let me introduce some of the people that make this show possible. There's the music in the background that you hear that has been composed for the program and performed by Jason Shaw. Give it up for Jason. Thank you. John Shanahan is the voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. A comedy writer, does many of the comedy things on this program. John Shanahan, ladies and gentlemen, give it up. Give it up for Nicole Reed. She is the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. She books many of the national interviews that we do and produces some segments. Give it up for Nicole Reed, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a wallet with a lot of money in it, give it up for me, ladies and gentlemen. Here's how this is going to go down. I do a show for you like an organ grinder's monkey, but in a very respectable manner. You sit down in a chair or drive in your car, whatever the case may be, and you shut up. You don't talk for half an hour. You don't comment. You don't say anything. You don't pick up your phone. You don't chew your food. You sit there quietly and you listen to every goddamn word that I say. And that's not difficult to do. But I'd like you to do that, if you could, please. And no talking during my program. It tends to disrupt the listening pleasure of others. You think I'm kidding, don't you? Well, I'm not kidding. This is very, very important. What? You don't understand the etiquette of listening to a show, do you? There are certain rules and regulations that come forth by the National Academy of Talk Show Hosts. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And if you don't believe that, please just follow the rules.
This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you for coming. Your waiter will be along shortly. Please be advised that the Ron Van Dam Show has been designated as a non-smoking area. Please watch your step while boarding the Ron Van Dam Show, as contents may have shifted during travel. In clinical studies, the Ron Van Dam Show has not been shown to reduce cholesterol in laboratory animals. Exits are located to the rear on the left and right sides of the auditorium. The sea bass is steamed and served with a white truffle risotto. Illinois residents add 5% sales tax. Shake before serving. If dizziness or swelling occur, stop using the Ron Van Dam Show immediately. Proper ID is required, no cover charge after 10 p.m. Moo! Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show may require you to lift objects weighing 15 pounds or more. Please remain seated until the Ron Van Dam Show comes to a complete stop.
Okay. How do I get your attention normally? It's really quite simple. A lot of people hold up little puppy dogs. Not me. I hold up a dead sloth.
Aww.
I know. They're adorable, aren't they? I've got to make some calls today because I have to have the leaves removed from my gutters. Sounds like an operation that I need to call my doctor about. Ron, we've looked at your x-rays. Unfortunately, we need to remove the leaves from your gutter. No, not that. It's so painful. Yep, I got to call places, embarrassingly beg to have leaves removed from my gutter. And not just regular leaves, dead leaves, leaves that have fallen from the trees and collected in my gutters. My gutters love to collect things. They collect bird nests. They collect a lot of crap and garbage, and they collect leaves. It's a hobby, I guess, but I need to contact a person to remove the leaves from my gutter. These are one of the pitfalls of owning a home. So, I've got to beg, you know. Excuse me, I'd like to have the leaves removed from my gutter. I'm sorry, we're all booked up. Well, what am I supposed to do? I'm not crawling up on a roof, you kidding me? I'm too old to get on a ladder. I'm too old to stay on the ground, much less get on a ladder. I'm getting phlegm in my throat. I'm getting choked up about this. There's so much to do. I had to have my irrigation system blown. I know. Seriously. It was very much like a colonoscopy. This guy came with a generator truck or something and a long hose. That's a colonoscopy. I don't care how you slice this one. He connected the hose to my irrigation system. Yes, I have an irrigation system. It came with the house. I didn't put it in. And it needs to be blown once a year. Yeah, similar to you know what. My sex life? Perhaps. Perhaps not. So I watched him blow my irrigation system, and then I had a cigarette. So I don't know what to tell you. Well, yesterday was election day. Speaking of elections. Yesterday was election day, and it's fascinating in many regards. Unfortunately, I lost my political bid to become Pope. Yeah, the percentage of votes I got to be Pope was so low. It was embarrassing. I had a convention center all set up with balloons that were going to drop from the ceiling. Could I become Pope? But that didn't happen. Apparently some guy named Pope Francis, and his real name is Francis Cohen. Did you know that? Yeah. He's a first Catholic Jew. He was reelected as Pope in a landslide, and that wasn't voting. He was in the Pope car, and apparently there's a landslide, and it missed his car by inches, and he survived. So he won, and I am not going to be Pope, and my quest to become Pope goes on. A lot of people said, Ron, you should have run for a city council position, or a city council, if I was about to say by mistake. City council position, start small, work your way up to Pope. I said, no, I'm not that young. I don't have that much time. I want to become kind of the only position that you can become if you're older. That would be Pope. There have not, to my knowledge, in modern history at least, any popes that were like 25 years old. It just Pope Skip, I'm not recalling any of those. There was a Pope John, a Pope Paul, and then they got a little fancy with the Francis. Usually it's just one syllable names, but I could be Pope Ron. I'd fit right in. But no, not this particular time around. Maybe next time. Maybe next time. I'm not going to give up. I don't think I kissed enough babies. Well, there was a pandemic, and you weren't supposed to do that. But I don't think I kissed enough babies. I kissed, let's see, how many babies did I kiss? What's the tally on how many babies I kissed? 17? Yeah, I don't think that's enough. I don't think that's enough. Had I kissed like maybe 32, I could be Pope by now. I didn't hand out candy. I did on Halloween, but I didn't do it like as running for Pope. I shouldn't have. Then I had like a group of people standing on a corner with signs, "Run for Pope," but then I realized they can't vote. It's not one of those voting things. So I had this all wrong. I had it all wrong. I was going door to door to meet the public. Nobody opened their door for me because I said at the beginning of the program, I'm intimidating. So that didn't work. They called the police on me a couple of times for trespassing. So anyway, I'm not going to be Pope again. And I did a lot of preparation this time to become Pope. Uh-huh, I did. I read the Bible backwards and forwards. I knew it by heart. 67 years ago. I know that's how it starts. I did a lot. I did a lot in order to become the Pope. I did good deeds. I did. I performed miracles. Yeah, I smiled every once in a while. And a lot of people said to me, "Ron, you're smiling. That's a miracle." I said, I know I'm performing them because I want to become Pope. Well, it's still on my bucket list. And maybe someday. Maybe someday. Maybe it was this show that, maybe if someone listened to this show, they figured I would be the last person that should be Pope. Yeah. I think I ruined it for myself. Well, anyway, I got a question for you. Think long and hard about this, because this is a very important question.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
I noticed that as the pandemic is winding down before the next variant, I noticed that people really haven't changed in their pandemic costume. What is the pandemic costume, you may ask? It was sweatpants. Sweatpants. What a disgusting concept that is. Sweatpants. Do you remember people wore sweatsuits? That would be the sweatshirt with the sweatpants. That became a suit. It became the sweat suit. The hell are we doing? The hell are we doing? I actually bought a sweat vest to wear with the sweat suit. Because I wanted to look good, you know, for formal occasions. I can understand the sweatshirt, but the sweatpants, it's just a disgusting concept. What are you going to do? I'm going to put my pants on. What are you going to do in them? I'm going to sweat in my pants. Ew. Isn't that where your crotch is located? Yes, it's where my crotch resides, inside the sweatpants. Then you're going to have sweat underpants? Yes, I am. Ugh. Ugh. And people put on their best sweatpants to go to Walmart. It's weird. when I see somebody wearing sweatpants, I say to myself, I'm looking at a person who totally doesn't care anymore. I must say I'm seeing a little bit less of sweatpants than I did last year. And that's a good thing. Because it's disgusting. It really, I can't even imagine touching somebody's sweatpants or talking to somebody who is literally sweating in their pants as I'm having a conversation with them. How are you today, Joe? Great. Your pants look a little sweaty. Oh, they are. I'm sweating inside my pants as we speak. Oh. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen of this country, I speak to you not as Pope, but as talk show host. It's time to get dressed again. Put on some pants, will you? Ladies, I don't care if you wear pants or a skirt. I really don't. Just don't do the sweatpants. Just don't. And not the sweat panties either. All right, that's enough. Can you believe I do a show out of this stuff? Most people are talking politics and atomic theories and social responsibility. I talk about sweating in your pants and wanting to become Pope. I don't understand it either. It makes the show a little bit different, I suppose. Hey, in the second part of the show, I'm going to talk about FICA plants. I don't even know what they are. I wouldn't know a FICA plant if it fell on my head. You don't want plants falling on your head, by the way, because when plants fall on your head, it means one of them let loose from an apartment building and fell about 20 stories onto your head, and the clay pot will probably kill you. So, did you know that this is Watch Out for Falling FICAs month? Did you know that? There's a month for everything. It started with diseases. They took every disease and they named a month after it. You know, National Sweat in Your Pants Day, that kind of thing. Everything has an official honorary month attached to it. Or a day, you know, if you do something wonderful in your community, the mayor of your town or city will call it Bob Day. Yes, Bob ran into a burning building and saved 20 grandmothers and a cat. And Bob Robinson is a hero. This is Bob Robinson Day. I officially declare, I decree among the citizens of the town that Bob Robinson has been deemed a hero. This is officially Bob Robinson Day. Oh, and what are we supposed to do? Is there like a discount in the store for Bob Robinson merchandise? What the hell's going on here? No, it's just officially Bob Robinson Day. I don't know what that means either. But I declare by decree in this land, Bob Robinson, it is Bob Robinson Day. Do we celebrate this every year? No, we don't. Just today. And everything's, it's a BOGO. Buy one, get one free. Buy one what?
I don't know.
By the way, buy one, get one is a BOGO. What the hell's wrong with us? Seriously, what is wrong with us? To buy one and get one free, we have to coin a word for it. It's a BOGO. I can't even say it without laughing because it's so stupid. Oh, BOGO this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, my guest is going to join us momentarily on this on the National Hump Day broadcast. I'm embarrassed too.
We don't get to choose our family names. We're born into them, and some of them are, quite frankly, a little embarrassing. For many, a burden that follows them through life. If you've got an embarrassing last name, you may have thought about having it legally changed, but perhaps you thought it might be complicated and expensive. Well, I'm here to tell you that having your last name legally changed is simple and cost-effective and will take that lifelong burden away in just a few easy steps. Call me today, Attorney Jim Cockwaffle, with the offices of Cockwaffle and Cumstein. We know what you're going through.
John Cannell joins us now. He's a cooking and baking expert, a culinary influencer, and founder of the Preppy Kitchen. Thank you so much for being with us today. I always like talking to people who love to talk about food.
I love food. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Well, you know, every season, especially if you live in parts of the country where they have different seasons, every season has a whole different culinary feel. And our tastes and our desires kind of change with the seasons, don't they?
This is so true. We moved to Connecticut so we can experience the seasons, and we're in full cozy sweater mode right now.
Right. And no more white pants, right?
No more white pants.
All right. Okay. All right. Although chefs tend to wear white pants a lot, but that's okay. All right. Now we're going to learn some tips for this season, and this is for both cooking and baking, which are two kind of different things, aren't they?
They are. And, you know, at this time of year, a lot of us are going back into the kitchen, maybe yeah. It's for the first time in a bit. We're having people over. We want our favorite snacks and treats. So I want to take the stress out of fall and holiday baking for you with a couple of tips.
Sure.
First of all, we all need to take a look at our pantry. Do we have all the stuff that we need? You don't want to be scrambling around when you're in the middle of making something.
True.
So make sure you have your flour, that brown sugar, all of your favorite fall spices, your pumpkin butter, those incredible eggs, your milk, and everything else. Do you have any favorite fall spices that you really love?
Well, this is like pumpkin land for the next 3 weeks. Everything is pumpkin,
pumpkin,
but it's such a short-lived craving. But yeah, pumpkin, I love the dip in the drinks in the pumpkin sugar rim and all that kind of stuff and pumpkin bread and all that.
You know, I want to give everyone a couple of tips for pumpkin pie because this is like we're in pumpkin pie season, right?
So yes.
A pumpkin pie should have a crisp butter crust. It shouldn't be soggy. And then a silky, amazing custard filling. To get that crust, you're going to want to blind bake it in the oven before you add the filling. That means you're partially baking the crust.
Mm-hmm.
And then my secret tip for that smooth mirror custard is to take your pumpkin, your eggs, all the spices and everything else you're using, and plop those into a large, like a medium-sized pot, and cook it over low heat until it's warm.
Oh.
Then you pour it into your pie crust and bake it up.
Yeah.
You're going to get a smooth, amazing custard that way.
All right. You know, one of my favorite dishes is a quiche for breakfast. That's very holiday.
Thank you.
And it's just like anything goes. You can put anything in it, you know, within reason. And it's just, man.
Anything you want.
Yeah. Any
I
tips?
Love a quiche. It's great for breakfast and
yes.
lunch. And really, as long as you have your cream and your eggs and your cheese, you can add anything you want to it.
Yeah. It's amazing how the eggs just like bring it to the perfect consistency and all that kind of. And I actually do souffles, by the way, for Thanksgiving. Believe it or not, I do the popover things. Yeah, I'm rather good at that. And that's pretty cool.
That is, I'm actually very impressed, and I want to come over for Thanksgiving now.
Well, you know, I want to come to your place for Thanksgiving. I think you can probably do a little bit better, but yeah.
Should trade places.
Yeah. Give me some more tips. This is fun. Give me some more tips here that I can do.
All right, so here's one of the things that gets people whenever they make like a soft, melt-in-your-mouth cake or cupcake or bread. It looks perfect coming out of the oven, and then it kind of shrinks back down.
Yes.
It can get kind of gummy and dense.
Yes.
That happened because the batter was overmixed. You activated the gluten in the flour, and it contracts it back down and takes away all of that wonderful texture.
Yeah.
The other thing that people can avoid in the kitchen is mismeasuring their flour. So what happens is you scoop your flour out of the canister. But by doing that, you're getting 50% more flour than you need. you're supposed to either use a scale, or if you don't have one at home, just sprinkle the flour into your measuring cup.
Wow. Baking is a science.
One more tip is just to have room temperature ingredients. So you're going to want to have your milk, your butter, your eggs be room temperature, not ice cold when you add them to your batter. Room temperature ingredients will mix together more easily. And when you pop those into the oven, if the batter is cold, the center of your cake or whatever takes longer to bake. So the edge burns and the center rises up in a crazy dome. So you don't have a nice even texture throughout.
Interesting. Yeah, what if I wanted to make my own whipped cream? I've never done that. Is that doable for a person?
It is doable, and here's the deal. It comes together so easily. You can use a hand mixer. You can do it by hand with a whisk if you're being adventurous. Mm-hmm. But my tip for everyone making whipped cream at home is to whip it until it looks like it's almost ready, but it's still a little bit saggy. And then finish it off by hand. I always finish my whipped cream off by hand because it goes from being creamy and amazing to butter in a flash.
Wow.
That's what happens if you overmix whipped cream. It just separates out and you get butter and water mixture.
I'm going to give that a shot. I'm going to give that a try. What about creme brulee? I have it in restaurants. I've never done it myself. I don't know if that's doable either.
You know, I am a custard fiend, so... Oh. Anything with those wonderful silky egg yolks is like my dream come true. Creme brulee is just a mixture of eggs and cream and sugar. You could have vanilla, you could have spices, you could even add some pumpkin puree to it.
Oh.
And you're going to bake it up. Bake it up low and slow and then sprinkle with sugar and get that torch out of the garage.
Yes.
And torch the top. It's the most fun and dramatic thing to do at the holidays, and it's something that your guests can come over and try and brulee their own dessert. So it's a really fun thing to do.
Can I add a little bit of rum to it?
Yes, rum, bourbon. I love bourbon in my creme brulee.
There we go. We're talking now. We're having a conversation. Okay. Where do I go for more information? I think you've sparked some interest here. Where do we go?
So all of my recipes are on preppykitchen.com, and for more about the incredible egg, go to incredibleegg.org.
There you have it. Everything you need. Thank you so much for your time today, John.
This is so fun. Thanks for having me, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you. You too. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for being here. You've been pleasurable to some small extent. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. That should be exciting for somebody. I don't know, but somebody might be interested in that. I'm really not too certain about that. So what are you going to do today? Or if you're listening to this later in the day, what did you do today? One way or the other, it's inconsequential because I totally don't care. A, I can't hear you because I'm not in the room with you. B, I seriously don't care. I really don't. I care about certain individuals within my family, a very small circle of friends. And when I say small circle, I don't have enough friends to even make a circle. And that's by choice, because that's the way I roll. I care about them, but general public? No, not really. No, you know, no, I don't. Because for the most part, people are not trustworthy. They tip the asshole scale toward the asshole side. When I say to somebody, you know, how are you? How was your day? I'm really saying, answer the question and then go somewhere. Make it short. Don't give me a whole thing because I couldn't possibly care what you did all day. You're not a part of my life, really. I could nod my head, but then I'm just making fun of you because I don't care what you're saying. Don't embarrass yourself. Just don't embarrass yourself. You do that enough with the sweatpants. Oh my God, what's with your sweatpants? Deja vu. Didn't I talk about this at the beginning of the show? That's the way I tie the entire program together. Yeah, it's fascinating. And only a few people on the planet can do it. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. for those of you that question if I am really a curmudgeon kind of person or whether I'm a loving, caring person, I'm really loving and caring. I just sound grumpy for theatrical purposes.